Welcome to the Well Community Church podcast. For more information on us and our mission to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, check us out at thewellcommunity.org or on our app, The Well Presence.
Well, that's the question for us, isn't it? What is your next step? Welcome to The Well. So grateful that you're here. To those, of course, joining us in person or at one of our campuses, venues, or even online. Just so grateful to have the time to share with you. We are in a very interesting sort of series here at The Well, and this is kind of the culmination of that. Welcome to State of the Church. State of the Church is a once a year opportunity for us to just sort of hit pause and reflect a little bit at what God is doing and has done here in our midst. And really, if you think about over the last 12 months, it's been a very interesting journey here at The Well. And one of our sort of foundational practices is to celebrate the work of God. And we just don't want to miss an opportunity to draw attention to what God has been doing, because it actually is very, very special. If you are a guest here with us, it's the perfect week to come. In that, we're going to share with you a little bit about the journey that we are on together and sort of where that leads us moving forward. So if you wondered what we were about, what we were committed to, what we celebrate and value, it's a great opportunity for you to come and hear a little bit about what God's doing here at The Well. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to sort of set this up though with Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. It's a passage that we refer to frequently here. In fact, I think we read it even out loud last week. But as you look at Acts chapter 2, it's a picture of the church undefiled before pastors messed it up, before stained glass and pews and pipe organs and all that. It's just the OG simple church. Jesus, in context, had just been crucified, buried, and raised. He had just ascended to the Father. And those that were following Jesus at that time had assembled together. The Spirit of God came upon them. Peter comes out, preaches an incredible message of repentance in Acts chapter 2. And in verse 41, 3,000 people come to faith in that day. And then in 42, it says they were continually devoting themselves to four very critical things: the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. So they're a biblically centered people, entering into relationships together, remembering the Lord in communion and sharing meals with one another, and seeking God in prayer. But what's noteworthy, at least for our context here this week, is verse 43. Everyone was feeling a sense of what? What does your Bible say? Awe. It comes from the word phobos, actually, that's translated. That's where we get our word phobia or fear. And it's translated sometimes, this word phobos, as fear or respect or reverence, even intimidation, which is interesting. And in this context, translated as awe. What would cause a gathering of believers to experience fear, respect, intimidation, or awe? Have you ever had one of those moments where you were made well aware of your own createdness and the own limitations of who you were, and you had no words to explain what was happening around you? Whether it's the birth of a child, the witnessing of something even in creation that was just beyond anything you could ever ask or imagine. In this context, these people just saw 3,000 people come to faith just like that. And they're like, do you have a category for that? I don't have a category for that. Can you explain that? I cannot explain that. And in fact, the Lord in this moment had done exceedingly abundantly beyond all they could have asked or imagined. And so what they felt together was a sense of awe. Very similar, by the way, to what Moses may have experienced when he saw the bush that was burning in the book of Exodus. And he's like, I'm not sure what's happening right here, but I don't have a category for this either. I'm gonna take my shoes off. This is holy ground. And in some ways, the early church experienced a moment where they were in holy ground. And they said, this is awe. This is beyond what we can expect or imagine. We couldn't have created this. We didn't fabricate this. This didn't happen because Peter was good. It had nothing to do with him. It happened because God, by his grace, was on the move. They experienced awe. Here at the Well Community Church, we are in a season where we are experiencing a similar awe. And the reason I say awe is the Bible is very clear in Romans chapter 3 that there's none who seeks for God, not even one. Which simply means this: if you are here today as a guest and this is a new thing for you, you're not simply here because you felt like you should come to church. You're here because God is doing something in your life, whether you knew it or not. Amen. We are all here today, even those who have embraced the gospel, because God is stirring in your hearts an affection for him, and so you chose to come to a community of faith like this. It's him. And so Paul says to the church of Corinth, I planted, Apollos watered, it was God who was causing the growth. And so as we reflect about this sense of awe that we are experiencing together, it's very, very important that we give credit where credit is due. We are where we are as a church, not because of well-executed plans, not because of a talented team, not because of a sea of wonderful people who are investing their lives in the kingdom of God in our city. We are where we are in a sense of awe because our God is so good and he is going before us and he is doing things exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or imagine. So we are experiencing his hand at work. Quick thing though about numbers, maybe a caution, because we're gonna share with you a lot of the behind the scenes, a lot of data coming at you today, trying to paint a picture of maybe what God is doing. As soon as you mention numbers, we have to be careful because numbers do not tell the whole story. It's a snapshot. So we may be growing, but let's say we grew by 1,000. 1,000 what? Like what's happening in the lives of those thousands? Like what is God doing there? So numbers don't tell the whole story. Second, bigger is not better. It's not better at all. In fact, bigger and sometimes means more complications, more complexity. And so bigger is not necessarily better. And the real number that I'm interested in, and I hope your heart resonates with this as well, the real number I'm interested in is not necessarily how many people are coming to the well. It's the hundreds of thousands of people in our community who have yet to embrace the gospel. I'm really interested in that. How do we reach those people with the gospel? And so in that, as we share some numbers, I just wanted to keep those things in mind. Let's start just with a little high-level overview. How about attendance at the well, all campuses, all gatherings? The reasons we want to share this is we are so, in some ways, influenced by our migratory patterns. So if you come here to this gathering, you may not know what's happening at midweek or even know we have a Fig Garden campus. To the people at our Fig Garden campus, they have no idea what's happening tonight with our rowdies or no idea what's going on at 8:30 here at Clovis on Sunday morning. And so we want to just sort of broaden your horizons a little bit. This is attendance numbers, all campuses, all gatherings for all in-person worship. All right, so in 2021, there was over 2,000 people that were coming. And I remember reflecting upon that. That's amazing. That is a ginormous church. Well, in 2022, it was more than 2,500. And then we opened this campus. And in 2023, we jumped to over 4,000. In 2024, we jumped to over 5,500. And averaging in 2025, over 7,500 kids and adults who attend our church every single week. The largest gathering we have ever had. Yeah, it's crazy. The largest gathering we have ever had in 23 years was this past Easter. By far, the biggest one. The second largest gathering we have ever had in the history of the church was Easter of last year. The third largest gathering we have ever had in the history of this church was last week. And so something is happening in our midst. God is stirring in the hearts of people, and we are, by the grace of God, growing. What does that mean practically? Well, you have in your seat backs there or in the pews over at Fig Garden, welcome cards. And we say, often, we want to be as available to you as you're comfortable with. When you're ready to take the next step, fill out that card. And it might be for prayer. It might be to get connected. It might be you want to embrace the gospel. There's a number of reasons you'll fill out one of those cards. Well, in 2023, we had just over 1,000 of those cards turned in. That's 1,000 people saying, I need something. Can we connect? Well, in 2024, that number jumped to 1,400. And I don't know what happened in 2025. But to date, there have been nearly 8,000 welcome cards turned in. And I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure what that represents. What I do know is this, there's greater connection happening by orders of magnitude than we could have ever thought possible. Now, in terms of baptisms over the last 2 years, baptism, of course, is a public proclamation of inward change. Somebody who's embraced the gospel and wants to communicate that to others. In the last 2 years, in the last 24 months, we have baptized just under 400 people here at the well, which is amazing to see what God is doing. Well, one of the distinctives here at the well is that we are youth-focused, unashamedly youth-focused. We really want to see young adults, college students, students and kids come to faith in Jesus Christ. Psalm 71 has been a sort of a banner for us that, oh God, you have taught us from our youth, and we still declare your wondrous deeds, that even when we are old, oh God, do not forsake us till we declare your strength to this generation and to all who are to come. And so we want to reach the next generation. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening as it relates specifically to our kids. Now, some of you have been around for a long time. If you remember when we started this church back in early 2000, we had no kids ministry because we didn't have a single child, literally none. It was all college students and grandparents coming to make sure we weren't a cult. And so that was it, true story. Well, thankfully, we are a biblical people, and so for this reason, a man would leave his mother and father, be joined to his wife, and that they would be fruitful and multiply. And so there's been a lot of that going on. And so with that, in 2022, we had just over 450 kids, fifth grade and under, here at our church. In 2023, just over 750. In 2024, just over 1,000. And averaging here in 2025, just over 1,350 kids. Now, last week, there was over 1,400 kids. So it is amazing to see what God is doing. And you may be saying, yeah, but I don't really have a category for that. Let me give you a little comparison. The average elementary school in Fresno and Clovis Unified is 650 kids, which means we are ministering to the equivalent of two elementary school worth of kids every single week, with over 350 volunteers sharing the gospel with our kids every single week, which is incredible. And the reason that's so significant, parents, you get this. How many times have you said something to your son or daughter and they look at you like you have three heads, okay, after they roll their eyes? And then somebody else who's not you says the exact same thing. And they're like, that is so brilliant. Why haven't you ever said that to me? And you're like, you know, one of these. And so praise God, we partner with parents, supporting you in the parenting of your kids, hoping to reinforce what you're teaching your kids at home. They're hearing about Jesus here as well. And we really pray that as we're sharing the gospel with your kids and teaching the Bible to your kids, that they're kind of laughing because they're like, yeah, I've already heard that at home. But maybe by God's grace, if somebody else other than you says it, right, maybe it'll hit with our kids. And so that's what's going on with our kids' ministry. We did a little thing this summer called Summerpalooza. It's kind of our version of a vacation Bible school. And in 2022, there was over 700 kids and 300 leaders. And we thought, man, that's amazing. Look at that. Well, this last summer, there was actually over 1,500 kids and over 800 leaders. And we had a parent, yes, we had a parent that was quoted. Here's what the parent said. The parent said, quote, my kid loves Jesus better because he came to Summerpalooza. I go, that's exactly why we do it. And so very, very thankful to see what God is doing with our kids. Also regarding kids, we launched here a couple years ago a special needs ministry. We just recognized the families in our community with children with special needs need some extra support and care, some specialized training, and some specialized partnership as these kids are in the various classrooms. And so we started a special needs ministry, and in 2023, there was 19 kids that participated. In 2024, there was just under 50. And in 2025, our chart shows just under 70. Those numbers have been corrected for me by the team. There were over 80 kids that are participating in special needs, which represents 75 families. And if you know anything about a family with special needs, I just talked to a family who literally have been through this their whole child's life. It's very difficult for them to come to church because you're not sure that your kid is safe. You're not sure that your kid is in an environment that they're gonna be cared for. And so to create the space that we have for these 75 families, they're so grateful to be able to come to church and hear the gospel and know their son or daughter is hearing the gospel as well. And there are, by the way, over 50 volunteers serving in that special needs ministry. So we're super encouraged to see what's happening there. All right. Just a side note as it relates to kids, when we remodeled our Fig Garden campus, we picked up about 7,000 extra square feet of kid space. And then when we built this property, we tried to build it twice as big as our previous campus. And we assumed that would last us forever. One of the kids' rooms is our current kid, well, was our current kids' team's office. We've evicted them because we're going to expand the ministry into those rooms. We bought furniture expecting X amount of kids. Well, it's more than that. And so we've had to buy more furniture. Point is, at both campuses, the kids' facilities are impacted already. What a wonderful problem to have, which will lead us into some decisions that we're going to be making moving forward that I'll tell you about here in a little bit. Before we leave the kids' world, though, I want to talk just a little bit about the Well Stars. We started a little athletic program, not really designed to raise future Olympians, truthfully. None of our kids are most likely going to be Olympians, so this is not a prep for a club program, all right? This is a kid gets an orange slice of Capri Sun and gets to put on a uniform, and we get to take pictures, all right? So they did t-ball and soccer, and so in 2024, there was 550 kids and 100 volunteers, and this year in 2025, over 900 kids and 150 volunteers. Now, here's what makes this so special. The Well Stars was designed for two reasons. One, what I already shared with you. The second is it's a safe entry point for people in our community that aren't part of our church, but are willing to come and watch their kid have a good experience in a team sport. And so the proximity of people able to connect with people in our community, and they're hearing gospel-centered things while we do the Well Stars from the coaches and experiencing this campus in a way that takes away, in some ways, the boundaries for them, or maybe things that would inhibit them from coming, is absolutely beautiful. It's one of the best outreach things that we have. So we're super grateful for that. Let's talk middle school and high school kids. This is where it gets really, really fun, as if it wasn't fun already. Our Fig Garden campus has middle school and high school. The numbers together, back in 2021, there were 60 kids that were coming, and then it went to 70, and then 90, and then 125. And this year, there's 150 kids at our Fig Garden campus that are participating in middle school and high school, which is amazing. At this campus, though, it's even bigger. In 2021, there was 215 kids. Then it jumped to 270, and then 328, and then 401. This year, it's averaging now 550. This last week, we had more middle schoolers and high schoolers together than 550. We were north of that, which means there are literally almost 1,000 middle schoolers and high schoolers that are participating in the ministry throughout the given week, which is absolutely fantastic. I don't know what kind of decisions you made in high school, but I can tell you, I was not making good decisions in high school. And so praise God that we are able to share the gospel with these young people, that they might walk intimately with Jesus and live a different life than maybe we did. We want to send these kids, by the way, these students, to summer camp at Hume, but it's getting really expensive. And so we launched this thing called the Well Barbecue. We said, well, let's cook some tri-tip and, you know, we'll see what happens. And so there's like 50 dudes that are a part of this ministry. It is awesome. They get together with their beards and their little aprons and they cook it up, which is interesting because most women connect face to face. Most men connect shoulder to shoulder. And so we've got guys that'll come at 4 a.m, light up the barbecue and start cooking for us. Listen to this though. They have smoked over 12,000 pounds of tri-tip. They have sold over 17,000 sandwiches, which is insane, which translates to just under $50,000 that's been given to subsidize our students going to camp. No one was turned away this last year because of money. And so that's exactly what we wanted. So grateful for your generosity and your eating habits. We shall press on. How's that? All right, let's talk community life just for a little bit. We're very committed to groups and teams. Here's the group environments here at The Well. Regarding life groups, we've got over 2,300 participants currently in life groups, over 350 groups, with availability as of early this morning for 500 people to jump into groups, no waiting list. And so our team has done a great job of training leaders. And truthfully, many of you have done a great job of saying, you know what, I'll facilitate a group. And we're walking with you and training you, and so grateful for your willingness to step up. Our regeneration ministry on Mondays is averaging just under 300 people every week. Our re-engage ministry has commenced over 100 couples. By the way, re-engage, one of the first things you do when you come in, you say, on a scale of 0 to 10, where's your marriage currently? And boy, we get a lot of 2s and 3s. Wow. And it's interesting when they leave, how many people say, you know what, 7 or 8. And you know what? Praise God for that. By the way, if you say your marriage is a 10, you are a liar. You are a lying dog. Because we always have something we can work on as we draw that circle around ourselves. Amen? That being said, we're helping couples walk out this messy process of life with God together. Our merge ministry, which is seriously dating and engaged couples. There's been over 100 couples that have gone through merge. And our women's Bible study is taking over our city. Last semester, there was 850 women participating in women's Bible study. So just great things happening in the community life world. Couple things. Let's talk missions for a little bit. So we want to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. That's both our neighborhoods and in our world. Here's what's happening globally. Just to give you a snapshot, we've got 5 extended family. That's what we call missionaries that are all over the world. Most of them you can see is in what has been called the 1040 window. That's the window of the most unreached people groups on the planet. And so we've got, 4 of the 5 in the 1040 window. There are some of our families that we can't even tell you their full names or really where they are, because if that got online, it might put their families at risk because they are in hostile environments to the gospel, and yet they're there. And so we are supporting these people. Incidentally, we took an offering in May to help support these folks with some of the needs they had on the field. And in years past, it's been, $30,000 or $40,000, which is a lot of money. This last missions offering was over $200,000 that was given to support missions, which is incredible. So much so that we supported our global missions partners as well as some of our local. Here's what we're doing locally. The focal point of our local missions at this point is reaching youth, the underserved in our community, and we are strategically helping equip and support other local churches in our city. The larger we get, the more we feel a responsibility to be about the kingdom and not our castle. We are not here to build the well. We're here to build the kingdom of God. And we need healthy churches all over our city. The Well Community Church will never be able to meet the needs of our city. We need other gospel-centered churches all over in every neighborhood. And so we're strategically helping other churches as well, because we want to impact our city. And speaking of that, we built a coffee house. Now, the coffee house was designed to create interactions with people in our community. We wanted to be the new third place. If you weren't at home or at work, you're at the coffee house. And so you've seen the fruit of that labor. It's been exactly what we wanted it to be. But it's hard to measure what kind of conversations are happening. I mean, you anecdotally hear things like just this last week, a gentleman who walks the walking path happened to walk by, saw the buildings being built, finally came over and said hi, literally asked, what does it mean to follow Jesus? One of our pastoral staff who's there with others that are in a running club shared the gospel with him. This guy embraced the gospel this last week. And so we're so grateful for that kind of interaction. And so it's hard to measure those kind of one-offs, but what we can measure is how many people have a transaction with us. And a transaction for us is opportunity for connection. And so what we do know is in 2024, there were over 11,000 transactions in the coffee house. In 2025, there was nearly 20,000. Now, we're not making a dime in our coffee house, by the way. It is an operational loss, but it is a community win, which makes it worth it. And so we're so grateful for what's happening there in the coffee house. We announced to you a year ago we wanted to do something specifically as it relates to college students, and that is partner with California Baptist in creating what we called Valley College. We had to adjust the name because of some accreditation stuff, but launching this week is now Valley Leadership Academy. Same vision, new name. So if you got the bumper stickers early on, you might want to upgrade to the new ones. But we're partnering with 4 churches in our city, pouring into college students that are connected in their churches and giving them, by hosting here, a California Baptist University education. Solid Christian education, personal transformation and discipleship, intimate connection to local churches, plural, in our city. So we are so grateful for the Hills Church and their partnership, for Cross City, for Soma, and then of course, The Well. And so that's what's happening, launching this week, Valley Leadership Academy. Let's talk a little bit about finances. We don't talk much about money here at The Well, but I do want you to know what's happening behind the scenes. Year to year, I'm happy to announce that giving at The Well is up 20%, which is amazing, which starts me questioning a little bit, maybe as you are, what would cause, the giving to be up that much? I mean, this is a strange economy. Nobody's quite sure. We're like one tariff away from the world falling down. And so how do we handle all that? what's causing the growth? Two things I think are happening. One is the people that have given to the well, something's happening in your life. There's fruit in your life. Maybe you're a child or you're a student or you're a college student or maybe you're experiencing growth. And so it's like, hey, man, there's fruit here, so I want to continue to support what God is doing. And we're so grateful for that because we don't pass a plate. We don't drive by guilt you to give. We invite us to just pray about it and give as God leads us to give. And you've responded to that, so it's wonderful. The second is this. There's a lot of new people that are coming. And the typical lag between the time you know somebody's at your church, so they fill out a welcome card or check in a son or daughter or whatever, to the time they begin to give is typically about 12 to 18 months, which makes sense. You want to make sure, is this church weird? Do they handle snakes? Is it a cult? It's good to know those things before you start giving. Usually it takes a while. The window of giving, just about 50% of the people that give new to the well give within 6 months of their first visit. What that means is they've connected very quickly, they're trusting very quickly, they see what we're about, and they want to be a part of that financially. And so in that, we have grown by 20% this last year. And so that puts us in a position to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood in an even more profound way. So we're very, very thankful for that. I want to talk, though, if I can now, about next steps. What does this mean for us moving forward? You know, when Moses led the people of God out of Egypt, if you recall the story in Exodus 14, he leads them into a cul-de-sac, which really wasn't like super confidence building for the people of Israel that were with Moses, who's like, I know the way, trust me. And then they're in a cul-de-sac. Mountains on one side, mountains on the other, Red Sea in the front, and behind, hordes of the Egyptians coming to kill them all. So needless to say, it was a bit of a leadership crisis for Moses. And nobody knew quite which way to go. We could go this way, we could go that way. It was kind of undecided until he walked into the water and he put his staff in the water and the Red Seas parted. And even the skeptic went, I think it's that way, right? Even the hater who'd been talking smack was like, I'm pretty sure it's that way. And everybody move forward. I share that because the reason we wanted to walk you through a state of the church this year is we have a lot of unknowns in terms of what's next. But based on what we've shared with you, based on what we're seeing all over this church, I'm pretty sure it's that way. Which means three things I want you to consider as we wrap up state of the church here this week. One would be this. We need you to prayerfully consider signing up for a group or signing up for a team, specifically our teams. Because as we grow, we need more and more volunteers to make all of these ministries happen. And if we say, well, somebody else will do that, there is nobody else who will do that, right? If we do this, then nobody's gonna step up and we're not gonna be able to accommodate the growth with health. Second thing that'll happen is we'll burn out the volunteers that are currently doing it because we'll just keep asking for more. So would you today consider finding somebody who's got an ask me about sticker and saying, tell me about that, tell me about that, tell me about that. Okay, I'm gonna jump onto that team. We will accommodate what we can with your schedules. There's not a person in here who's saying, I have so much abundance of free time, I don't know what to do with myself. Everybody's pretty leveraged, but we'll accommodate schedules, but we need the body to be the body. Remember, we talk here at the Well about cruise ships and battleships. The church is not a cruise ship. We don't exist simply to let somebody else meet our needs. We actually are a part of it. We are the church. And so we're gonna invite you to find a team and let's help accommodate the growth with health. Second, we are looking by the end of this year to pay off that student center. We've got a little bit of debt on that building. Just to give you some numbers, in January of this year, we had 3.7 remaining on that building. As of today, it's 1.7. And so we have been very aggressive. As the giving has gone up, we've kept the budget down and we're just sliding everything surplus into paying that down. It is absolutely critical that that building's paid off by the end of this year because in January, we're gonna be launching what's coming next. And what's coming next at both campuses is gonna be the ability to accommodate more students and in this campus specifically, more adults and more kids. So the third thing I would ask of you is for the next 3 months, 4 months, really, would you be praying with us as to what's next? We're gonna be building that out. We're gonna be sharing some things behind the scenes. And then as of January, we're gonna be telling us all, that's where we need to go, okay? So the three things are, sign up for a team today. Find one that fits who you are and let's get involved. Second, if you can help us continue to give towards Cultivate, that we can pay off that building, that would be fantastic. That might mean you engage for the first time. Maybe you're not even familiar with what Cultivate is. We would love for you to participate. And then the third thing, would you pray with us as to what's next? What we do know is this, if we plant water and he causes the growth, we have a responsibility to respond to him. I'll close with Psalm 127. A psalm that maybe you're familiar with. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman watches in vain. It's a vain thing to stay up later, to rise earlier, to eat the bread of painful labor, for he gives to his beloved even while they sleep. Look, we could have the best ministry plans on the planet. We could have the best staff, the best volunteer teams. We could have the best orchestrated plans. If he's not in it, it's nothing. It's nothing. And so unless the Lord build the house, unless the Lord watch the city. And so we have a responsibility to respond to what God is doing. But more importantly than any of the plans that we might lay out is we want to continue to defer to him, that he would continue to lead this church wherever he wants it to go. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the time. We're grateful that we get to be a part of this body of Christ, this bride of yours, this church. Would you bless us? As we seek to be faithful to you, we are grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining the Well Community Church podcast. Be sure to check out thewellcommunity.org or our app, The Well Fresno, for more information on us, ways to connect, service times, and locations.